Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Tihya on Air program with myself, Tihya Badiwala. Now, before the break, I discussed Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu and how he rebuilt the Kaaba after the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming up next, I will be talking about from the book, Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Al-Arafi, and this is from page 401, titled Keeping a Secret. A famous old saying goes, any secret that passes beyond two is bound to spread. Someone was asked, who are the two being referred to here? He pointed to his two lips and said, these two. During the last 35 years of my life, I do not recall whispering into someone's ear a secret and trusting him therewith, except that I made him swear an oath that my secret will remain in a bottomless well. Nor do I recall any of them saying to me explicitly, dear Muhammad, please forgive me, for I am no longer able to keep your secret. In fact, whenever you inform someone of your secret, he will place his hand on his chest and say, by Allah, if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, or a sword on my neck to inform them of your secret, I would never do so. Then, when you feel satisfied and think you can trust him, you reveal your secrets to him. He patiently waits for a couple of months or more before revealing your secrets to others. Your secret begins to travel from person to person until it finally reaches you. You are the one at fault here, since your secret should not have passed beyond your lips. Do not overburden people with what they cannot bear. When a man's chest is too restricted to contain his own secret, then even more restricted is the chest of a man entrusted with that secret. I tested many people in that regard and found them to be the same. The problem is that you only go to them for consultation. They first give you advice, and then reveal your secrets to others, thereby losing respect in your eyes and becoming the most hated of people to you. One of the most amazing things to happen in history is that before the Battle of Badr, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about the courageous caravan approaching from Syria and decided to engage in a battle with the pagans, he marched out with his companions to intercept the caravan. Abu Sufyan was the head of his caravan. When he came to know the Muslims' advancement, he paid a man called Damdam bin Amr al-Ghifari and said, go and inform the Quraysh of the news. Damdam headed for Makkah. His journey to Makkah was to take a few days, and the people of Makkah were unaware of any developments. One night, Atikah bin Abdul Muttalib had a nightmare. The next morning, she called for her brother Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib and said, dear brother, last night I had a terrible nightmare. I fear that it may be indicative of what calamities are to befall your people. So please keep to yourself what I am about to tell you and do not disclose it with anyone. He said, okay, what did you see? She said, I saw a man mounted on a camel who came to the valley of Al-Abda and said in a loud voice, march forth, O you who will depart to your own end in 3 days. She continued, I saw the people gathered around him. He then moved on until he entered the masjid where the people were following him. Whilst he was still in the midst, he climbed on top of the Kaaba on his camel and said what he had said before. March forth, O you who will depart to your own end in 3 days. He then climbed on top of Mount Abu Qais and said in the same loud voice, march forth, O you who will depart to your own end in 3 days. He then lifted a rock and threw it from the top of the mountain. The rock fell from the top of the mountain, and when it landed at the bottom, it broke into small pieces, and fragments of it entered into every house in Makkah. Al-Abbas was shocked and said, by Allah, that was an astounding dream. He feared that the news of this dream may spread and cause harm. So he warned her, saying, please keep it a secret and do not mention it to anyone. Al-Abbas then left with the dream on his mind. On his way, he met Al-Walid bin Utbah, who was his friend. He shared the nightmare with him and said, please keep it a secret and do not tell anyone. Al-Walid went off, met his son Utbah and told him of the nightmare. It didn't take long until Utbah disclosed it to some of his friends. And from there the news began to spread among the people of Mecca until it became the subject of discussion in the gatherings of Quraysh. The next morning, Al-Abbas went to the Kaaba to perform tawaf, to find Abu Jahl sitting amongst a group of people from the Quraysh under the shade of the Kaaba discussing Atika's nightmare. When Abu Jahl noticed Al-Abbas, he said, "Oh, Abu Fadl, please come to us when you have finished your tawaf." Al-Abbas became surprised as to why Abu Jahl would like to speak to him. He could not have conceived that he would ask him about Atika's nightmare. Al-Abbas performed his tawaf and went off to Abu Jahl's gathering. When he approached them and sat down, Abu Jahl said to him, "Oh, Banu Abdul Muttalib, when did you have this new prophetess?" "What do you mean?" asked Al-Abbas. Abu Jahl replied, "I'm speaking of the nightmare Atika had." Al-Abbas became alarmed and said, "What nightmare did she have?" Abu Jahl said, "Oh, Banu Abdul Muttalib, isn't it enough that your men are claiming prophethood? It seems that now even your women are doing so. Atika claimed that she saw in a dream a man saying, 'March 4th in 3 days. So we will wait for 3 days, and if what she says is true, then we will see it happen. But if 3 days pass by and nothing happens, then we will write a declaration saying that you are the most untruthful family in speech among the Arabs.'" Al-Abbas became worried and did not say anything in response. He also denied knowledge of the nightmare and denied that she ever saw a dream. They then left the gathering. When Al-Abbas entered his house, every single woman in the Banu Abdul Muttalib family came to him in anger, saying, "You've allowed this evil and wretched man to insult your man, and now he begins to insult your women, and you simply sat there listening to all of this. Do not have a sense of honor for your people." Al-Abbas became zealous and excited and said, "By Allah, if Abu Jahl says that again, I will do this and that." 3 days after Atika's nightmare, Al-Abbas entered the mosque in anger. Upon entering the masjid, he saw Abu Jahl and decided to go to him to respond to his words. However, he noticed Abu Jahl leaving the masjid in a hurry and was surprised. He had been ready to argue and quarrel with him. Al-Abbas said to himself, "What is wrong with him? May Allah curse him. Is he rushing out because he is afraid that I will insult him?" However, Abu Jahl had heard the voice of Damdam bin Amr al-Ghifari, who was sent by Abu Sufyan to seek the aid of the people of Mecca. Damdam was shouting from the valley mounted on his camel. He had inflicted injury on the camel's nose such that it was bleeding. He had torn up his shirt and was shouting, "Oh Quraysh, the merchandise, the merchandise! Your merchandise is with Abu Sufyan, who is going to be intercepted by Muhammad and his companions. I don't see you coming to their aid in time." He then shouted at the top of his voice, "Help! Help!" The Quraysh then prepared for the battle and marched forth. And the defeat and the humiliation they endured in the end is something well known. Consider how a secret was spread in the blinking of an eye, despite all the efforts to keep it a secret. Another story about disclosing the secrets is when Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, accepted Islam and wanted to spread the news far and wide. He approached a man who was well known for spreading news. So he said, "Oh, so-and-so, I am going to tell you a secret, so please keep my secret." He said, "What is your secret?" Umar radiallahu anhu replied, "I have accepted Islam, so be careful that you do not inform anyone." As soon as Umar radiallahu anhu left him, the man began to go from people to people saying, "Did you know that Umar has embraced Islam? Did you know that Umar has embraced Islam?" How bizarre! He was like a mobile news agency. One day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Anas radiallahu anhu to do something for him. And on his way, he passed by his mother. His mother asked him, "What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatch you for?" He said, "By Allah, I will never reveal the secret of the Messenger of Allah." Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach his companions to keep secrets so that they may be responsible people. This is how serious Anas radiallahu anhu was in keeping the secret, that even when he was very young. Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Fatima radiallahu anha once came to us walking as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, 'Welcome, my dear daughter.' He then set her down either to his right or his left and told her a secret which made her cry. He said to her, 'Why are you crying?' He then told her another secret and she laughed. I thought to myself, 'I have never seen such joyous feelings mixed with sadness in a person like this.' I asked Fatima about Prophet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told her. She said, I will not reveal the secrets of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, I asked her about it and she said, he told me in confidence that Jibreel alayhi sallam revises the Quran with him once a year, but this year he revised it twice. I see it as an indication of my death. You will be the first of my household to join me. When I heard this, I cried. He then said to me, wouldn't you like to be the leader of the women in paradise or the leader of the believing women? When I heard this, I laughed. You are valued by your ability to keep secrets. For then, the people will trust you and open their hearts to you. Your status will increase in their eyes and they will look at you as a trustworthy person. Hence, train yourself to keep your own secrets and that of others. It is said, the one who knows your secrets enslaves you. With that, we've come to the end of the program. Thank you so much for tuning in. As usual, I do post everything on my social media. You can follow me on there. My Twitter handle is @TahiaW and my Instagram is TW. That's TEADOUBLEYOU_TW_. As always, I ask you to remember me in your du'as. Until next time, fi amanillah, ma'a salam.